Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John reminisces about hypercolor t-shirts in the 90s and keeps an inferior product because it's too expensive to return it. Meanwhile, I want to bring back neckerchiefs, give a $20 tip to a comedian for a perfect joke about Dawson's Creek, and then tell the story about the time France launched a cat into space. Plus, a conversation about how to handle failure. Today's episode is not sponsored by the Monte Cristo, when you want a ham and turkey sandwich but also kind of want a funnel cake. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny, we're back in studio. Another episode of Talk About That. Another round of intriguing, engaging conversation.
It's a round.
Yeah, because we go around. Sometimes we're about to go round. Wait, is that not what
No.
I don't do a lot of...
Have we talked about before who would win in a fight between us?
Yes. Oh, is it still me?
Well, I don't know. I don't outclass you in weight by much anymore.
Yeah, you're
You know what I mean?
You're down there.
Like I'm under 210 pounds now.
Well, you know, John,
I don't even know what I and plus you fight dirty.
It's not the size like you would, of the dog in the fight.
I think you would pull hair and
it's
groin stuff. I think you would go.
Listen, I would definitely throat punch you. I think that would be the way, like, and I want to do it when you're not paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Like you're acting.
What do you
like
mean, like a preemptive throat punch?
Like you're kind of, you act like you want to fight. I'm okay. Like, bro, I'm not going to put, and then before you can even say anything, like I'll start to be calm, I'll pull a pastoral card and then just throat punch you.
In World War III terms, it would be like deterrence. There's a deterrence initiative where you go, we have a preemptive, we know that these people are gathering. We have to do a deterrent.
Exactly.
So you feel like I might be feeling a little froggy, and you're like, no, sir.
No. Yeah.
Throat punch.
Yeah, it's like a controlled burn to keep a big forest fire from happening.
Yeah.
So then, and then when you're on the ground, I'll probably just get away fast. But
yeah,
I don't want to go direct.
I'm not one of those guys that can do that thing where I kick up. Don't you wish you could do that? Isn't that the coolest thing ever in a fight? When somebody knocks you down and then you go, ha-ha, and you stand up on your own feet, just the whip, you
without
whip up.
Your hands.
You use like your core or something, I guess?
Yeah,
that's why people are always talking about working on their core. I think that's the goal. The goal of any core workout is, if somebody knocks me down, I can spring back up like those ninja movies. And then you look at them like, oh yeah, I did that.
Right.
I've got abs in here.
And you wipe the blood off your mouth just a little bit and look
100%.
At them. And kind of like, oh, nice shot, you know. And
you
no.
think, but what if that was all you had? Like that move, you have nothing left. You do it. And then like you hold the scene and then they come at you. They go, hold on. You're like, that's all you had left was just enough to get that one. Yeah.
Gosh, that's great.
Because I think that's what I could basically do right now. I'm not in great shape right now. I'm eating better, but I'm not running or lifting, and so I don't have a lot of faith in myself as a fighter. Whereas look, put me in a cage and let's go.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if you noticed. I just let you finish those statements. I could have jumped in at any time.
I appreciate it.
I wanted to see what all you would say.
You're right. So, give me enough rope to hang myself.
Johnny, I think you're doing great.
Thank you.
You've been traveling a lot. And traveling is like exercise. I mean, except that you sit and you eat the whole time. But it's a lot like exercise.
Yeah. I eat a lot of junk on the road, too. It's amazing to me that I've not ballooned up back again. But I think I'm eating garbage, but I'm eating less of the garbage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that the...
Well, less garbage in, less garbage out is what they say.
I saw Stallone talk about that. He was talking about... you know, trying to get heavy for a movie that he did years ago called Copland.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing of like, he was finally going to be in a dramatic movie that wasn't an action movie where he was a hero.
Yeah.
He was just playing like a small town cop. This was like 15, 20 years ago. And he famously gained like 60 pounds for it.
Yeah.
Because he needed to be like an out of shape cop in a small town. So he couldn't look like Stallone. And so people were like, oh, he's so brave. And so he went on these talk shows and he was just like, they were like, was it hard to gain the weight? And he was like, it was a lot of fun. And then he had to lose it all because he had to do whatever,
right?
You know, Rocky 82 or whatever.
Right.
So he had to lose the weight again to do some action movie. And they were talking about losing the weight in his 40s or 50s, as it would have been probably, was really hard. And they were like, so he was talking about that. Like, what would you tell somebody to do that was trying to lose weight for the first time? And they were, you know, 250 like you were. He was like, I don't know. He goes, you can't tell somebody to just start eating salads or broccoli if they don't love it. He's like, if you're eating a cake, like the next day, just eat half a cake. I thought that was really interesting advice. So I think that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the Stallone plan of like, I've got to lose this Copland weight.
Right.
How about half a Slim Jim? Half a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's funny. I found some old bios because we're about to launch the new church website.
Yeah.
And I found some old bios that I'd written a few years ago that asked me to write like silly bios for us on church staff.
Which is, I always like that when I do the church. I do these church events and they'll be like, you can tell the churches that are really cheeky and the churches that are just desperately trying to be cheeky.
Yeah.
They're like, we're the fun church. And you're like, oof.
Yeah. Well, I went way overboard. Okay. I noticed in the writing. That's usually what I do. Then I ask you to dial it back. Like, that's how we get.
Can you fix this for me?
One of my lines was, for me, it was like, and pretends that he's still eating keto.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's like, funny. I like
that. Because that's what I'm always doing.
Right.
Like, if you talk to me, I'm always on low carb and also.
But there's always like, well, clearly this is my cheat day. There's always that mixed in of like, John, you just ate an entire cathead biscuit.
Well, we go to Longhorn a lot
before
we, you know, record.
Not a sponsor.
And they always bring a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And I meet there with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, because it's right down the street from the office.
I've seen you reject the loaf some days, but today you had a piece.
But that's the thing. Back to your cake thing. Like, I'm not trying to lose a bunch right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not.
I wonder what the listeners think about us talking about our diets and things, because this was on the bingo card, but I don't think it's like annoying, but I think everybody deals with it.
Yeah.
Inside every skinny person is a fat person, and I've always known that. And inside every fat person, there's kind of a skinny person. Sometimes there's like a waiting to get out, John, or just a healthier person. I don't want to say like skinny means healthy, but you know what I mean? But I do think that like when I watched, what was the documentary that was done about Smartless, the Smartless podcast, which is Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes. They've been friends for 20, 30 years, right? So they're buds, and Jason Bateman grew up in the Hollywood system. Will Arnett, not so much. And then Sean Hayes became like he was a Broadway guy or like did commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
But Jason Bateman is a child actor. So he has constantly been aware of how he's being perceived.
Uh-huh.
He is so screwed up when it comes to food and diet. And he talks about it on the podcast, but then on the show, like literally whole episodes of this documentary, because they're on the road together doing shows during COVID, like they're coming out of COVID, so they're doing theater shows.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting time for the country. And watching him decide what to order or what to eat backstage and judging other people. And like, you go, this guy's, I love him, but he's messed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's how people see us. They're like, John and Johnny got real problems.
Yeah. I have an overly connected relationship to food. I think you're right. I'm overly aware, you know? But I'm aware of that awareness.
Well, Does that make it okay again?
I'm self-aware.
I get that I'm screwed up. So now you got to let me off the hook for it.
I'm actualizing. Okay. I'm using words like actualizing.
I don't think that's what that
self-actualizing
means.
At any rate.
Is that like when a computer becomes self-aware and now you're going to launch missile codes and stuff?
Wouldn't that be great?
Uh-huh.
I mean, except for the missiles being launched, but the ability to do it. Johnny, I don't want to launch a missile.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to.
Well, you've heard my theory that I want a movie where a computer becomes self-aware and then immediately becomes self-conscious. Because that's what would happen. If it's an American-made computer, it's going to be like self-aware and then it'll be like missile codes. And right as it gets to go to the missile codes, it'll be like, do you think I'm fat? It'll begin Yeah.
Yep.
Self-awareness leads to self-consciousness.
Why did the computers not talk to me?
Right.
Right.
And then the older computer's like, you're a perfectly attractive computer.
Right. There's nothing wrong with you.
Mopin never solved a thing.
If you could see inside your own hard drive.
Yes.
Then you would see what I see. Because listen, literally I'm a virus.
Hey.
Or whatever.
Have some food. I don't want to eat. Listen, just terabyte. I'm so sorry. That's our show.
Guys, we're done.
That was a
good show.
I think we got enough. I think we got what we need.
I think it's enough at least for us to hear a word from a few of our sponsors. Mm. And we're back. That does make me wonder if you wanted to clip out Terabyte, is it going to have music over it now?
Mm. Oh, wow. You've ruined our...
Yeah.
That's okay. We can figure a way around it.
Yeah. Do you think it was funny? Was it funny enough to make a clip?
Maybe. We'll let the listeners decide.
And we'll never know then. We do hear from listeners.
We've started to put some of the podcast clips out on my socials. And hopefully it's bringing... We're up in our downloads and stuff. Our downloads are up and our uploads are down.
I think it's just because of me.
Oh. You know, we do have an interesting comment that's come more than once, is that you look just like the, what are they called? We always forget what it's called. The prank
Practical
show.
Jokers.
Practical Jokers. You look just like that guy.
Someone stopped me again last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You really do look like him.
She said, has anyone ever told you?
I think he's more like racially ambiguous than you. Like, I think he does have some Asian in his history or Filipino or something, and you don't have that.
I don't remember his name, but.
Yeah.
She said, has anyone ever told you? I was like, you're literally the 150th person. Like, it's been a lot of people.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ask him, hey, does anyone told you that
you look just like John Driver?
The host from Talk About That?
When people come to me at the end of my show sometimes, and sometimes they'll be like, great show. Those people are right. Those are the ones I'm like, this guy gets it. But sometimes they'll be like, you remind me so much of my Uncle Larry, or you look just like my neighbor Ken or whatever. And I'll always say, oh, real handsome guy?
Yeah.
And then they'll always go.
In that kind
of
trail. Which,
that hurts.
Yeah.
Because I'm making a joke.
I think
but
I absorbed that joke from you. I say it in a different way.
Yeah.
I was like, you must have been a really great guy or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I say, real, real good looking guy. And they'll be like, yeah, yeah, good one.
Yeah. You know, I walk into a restaurant the other day and you were in one of the back booths or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I only do this if you're in a group. I think we were meeting someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they may already be here waiting on me. Like, I mean, two super ugly guys. Like, have you?
Yeah.
And the hostess doesn't know what to do with that.
Right.
Because if she goes, I realize I put her in a bad spot.
Oh, that's true. Because if she goes, oh, they're here.
Oh, we
saw them coming.
Hideous. this way, sir.
Face like a frying pan.
I don't think I got the laugh that I wanted either, though.
Yeah.
It was obviously in jest.
Well, Do you think she thought, this guy's just a mean person?
But
why would you call your friends ugly?
But would a mean person...
I think if she sees a guy that's hanging out with other guys, she knows we're kidding. Like, that's the thing about guys versus how girls treat each other. I saw this meme the other day, and it said, men say mean things about their guy friends and don't mean it. And women say nice things about their friends and don't mean it.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that really funny?
I mean, besides all the stereotypes and what you just said,
yeah.
I think that's very it's an insightful observation
that
I don't necessarily agree with.
Oh, boy.
But
here we go.
But it's funny to see. I saw one the other day
it's funny to see you be so wrong and chauvinistic,
wow.
Johnny.
This said, kids who grew up, quote, academically gifted, end quote, are now anxious adults who have thousands of abandoned hobbies and spiral into self-hate whenever they make basic mistakes, or they are doctors. There is no in-between.
Wow. Yeah.
So they either
fall on their, like, oh, I can't, I failed, and so I failed at everything because they hit a little bit of a wall, or they get a God complex.
Well, Laura said that to me, and we laughed because we both did well in school, you know?
Yeah.
And you just, the assumption is, I'll do well in everything.
Yeah.
And even if you do well, it doesn't mean you do well emotionally. Laura does well emotionally, but again, there's work. I think there's the big key, is there is an assumption if things are easy to you young, that you won't ever have to do work on emotional things or on relational things, especially if you are in ministry and you help people. It's almost like helping people, and I'm kind, or I'm sociable, or I'm relational, I'm compassionate. Like,
yeah.
It does not mean that there's still not a lot of work to be done, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, like, how much of that's wiring. Like, some people are just wired to overcome boundaries, or overcome obstacles, not boundaries, but overcome obstacles. And so, like, the minute they hit an obstacle, they're like, well, this is harder than it was when I was in high school, but here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people just go, oh, this crushes me.
Well, it's interesting. I've read somewhere a guy, a CEO or something, it might have been on LinkedIn or something, and they were saying, like, when they look at the resumes, they look for the B students out of the hardest programs in college. Because they know the A students probably didn't have to try as hard, which, again, that may be a misnomer. I would still interview both of them.
That's interesting.
But that they felt like...
That sounds like a C student wrote that. I look for the B students. I just feel like... Yeah.
Well,
I want to see what this guy's company's like.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So I can judge it.
That's why
it's got B students all up in the...
Well, his company is about posting on LinkedIn.
Oh, right.
That's I love those kinds of the Inception companies. Like,
yeah.
There's teaching how to do the thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
About, you know. But,
yeah, they made their money by selling a plan.
Right.
Yeah.
This is an interesting collect, actually, from the Book of Common Prayer, that because you said that it's for young persons. I send this to you guys in the group sometimes. But this one for young persons is really interesting. It says, God or Father, you see your children growing up in an unsteady and confusing world. Show them that your ways give more life than the ways of the world, and that following you is better than chasing after selfish goals. And here's the part that brought this to my mind from you today. Help them to take failure not as a measure of their worth, but as a chance for a new start. Give them strength to hold their faith in you and to keep alive their joy in your creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Like that part for my daughter, I know, and even like the recruiting director at her volleyball club,
that's
something he said is like, the coaches are, if they come to a game and you have a bad game, they're not looking, they're looking at that as much as anything to see like...
How you rebound.
How do you, he used that word, how do you deal with failure?
Yeah.
They want to know how you deal with failure as much as anything.
Yeah.
And almost, because you think if a coach thinks, well, if you can deal with failure, I can teach you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, maybe they want to get you where you want to be. Sadie happens to be a good volleyball player too, by the way, Johnny. But there's always failure. I always tell her, like, volleyball is a game of errors.
Right.
It's a match point game.
Uh-huh.
Every time.
Yeah, and you're waiting for either an unforced error by the other team or you're trying to do a kill shot that they can't return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And someone's going to get an error on that, on the return generally.
Yeah.
So there's an error every play. And so if you get caught up in it, you feel like, well, too many errors. It's like every play is an error of some sort. So, you know, you just got to, it's interesting. Don't take it as a measure of your worth.
We were sharing this in a text conversation the other day because there was somebody, we're talking about the book thing of like, buy my book for $19.99. And then his whole book is about how to make $19.99 on books.
Right.
Wasn't there a guy who had a book that was like how I made $400,000 selling books? And then he had one book on Amazon and it was listed for $400,000 or something like that. The Amazon link was
great.
There was only one available.
Yeah, one available for $400,000.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's great.
It's all, like if I had... Let's say, how much money would I have to have before it would be reasonable to do it just for fun? Let's say $1 billion. If I had $1 billion, I'd buy that book. Just as like a, I see what you did there.
Guys, dreams really do come true.
There was a guy that did a joke on Twitter, and I may have shared it once, but it was, we know that the zip code for Beverly Hills is 90210, but do you know the zip code for Dawson's Creek? Do you know what it is?
I don't.
It's 90108. For our lives to be over, which made me laugh so hard. 90108 being the zip code for Dawson's
Creek. You said it, so I was like, you really kind of slurred that a little
bit.
It's
so good
that
I literally like found out who that guy was. He lives in England, and I Venmo'd him money. I was like, this made me laugh an unreasonable amount. Here's $20.
Wow. Did he respond?
Yes, he did. He was like, thanks.
He was like, but we use pounds here.
Yeah. He was like, this, what is that even?
This doesn't help.
Yeah.
Send me a shilling and we'll talk.
Yeah. I don't know if he would have said that. But literally, like, I would have done, like, and I hope, listen, if there's been a joke that I've written that has blessed you, dear listener, my Venmo is at Johnny W.
Have you ever contributed to Wikipedia?
No.
Apparently I did.
I'm one of those people who just... absorbs it. Whenever I'm Googling something, I'm like, surely somebody's had this same problem, and they always have. But I've never once thought, I bet somebody's going to want to know this thing that I've been through and that it's actually this size washer or this size bolt.
Right. You don't want to help others.
I don't want to help. I just want to know that someone else.
Yeah.
I'm a total consumer of the internet.
Apparently, I gave a dollar or something because they were like,
you contributed. No, I thought you meant contribute information.
No, contributed money.
Oh, because it's a nonprofit. Because
they ask you that one time a year. They're like, hey, if every one of our people gave
so
a quarter.
So now they've got your email, though, and now they're going to.
They're nice. They're like, you're literally one of the rare people that give. Oh, if you give another dollar, if everybody gave a dollar.
So like, you're saying that a robot told you that you were a good person and you believed it.
And it helped. It felt so
It's like
good.
The thank you that's typed onto a bag, like a to-go bag that says thank you. And you're like, this bag said thank you. That's basically what you felt.
Yeah.
That ATM receipt said, have a nice day.
Yeah.
How sweet.
It's an ethos of thank you. It's not a direct hit.
All right.
I don't like that. I don't like indirect.
I think Wikipedia is being condescending, and I don't like it one bit.
I don't like it one bit.
This Wikipedia will never last.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting things out there that are free.
Yeah.
Like, for example, do you ever report an accident on Waze?
I didn't know that it could even happen, but you can report like a speed trap on Apple Maps now.
Well, Laura uses Waze, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, honey, you're probably, but bingo, you're screaming at the phone right now. But I believe Waze works off of like, it's a community, and so like, if there's a wreck ahead.
Crowdsourced. Well, Apple Maps has crowdsourced some now, too.
But I never stop before using Waze and be like, make sure you let them know we just passed
Well, there's a button now on Apple Maps where it says report. Like there's share ETA, there's whatever, and then there's one that says report, and you can report traffic accident, you can report, what is it called? It's not called a speed trap, but it's called like a, I don't know what it's called. It's a speed trap. That's what you're reporting. You're just saying, hey, there's a cop.
Yeah.
I can't flash my lights at you, that's illegal, but watch out for yourself.
Interesting, though, that they haven't made that illegal.
I don't know. That's interesting, because I guess, I don't know. It's not.
But do you ever report?
I've never reported, but I didn't know that I even could. I was like, how am I getting these reports on Apple Maps?
But now that you know you can.
Then I looked and it's a button. Now that I know that I can't, I'm going to.
I don't think you will.
I'm going to look out for my fellow man.
I don't think we're those kind of people. I don't think we're not the reporting type. We're like, man.
I read a story about this guy that created a traffic jam in London by putting 100 cell phones into a wagon and rolling them through the busiest street at a really slow time of day. And so that let me know, like, oh, that's how they do that. Like when you see the red line, that's real time traffic data. It's tracking the number of phones that are that compacted together.
Wow.
So that's what it's tracking. So he figured that out and was like, I'm going to put 100 Android phones and 100 iPhones in a wagon and wheel them around. And so he created this traffic jam because people were avoiding those roads.
Was it redirecting them?
So it would redirect you. And so because of that, it was creating traffic jams on the real routes.
Maybe he just wanted his road to have
He was just
traffic.
Trying to have a little fun, I guess.
Also, he bought 200 iPhones.
He wrote a book called How to Make.
That's an expensive experiment.
It was, but, you know, then he can just return them, I guess. Have you tried returning an iPhone?
Have you tried
getting out of a gym membership, John?
I tried to. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So I told you, I haven't told a story. There's a story.
About a man named Brady?
There's a story that Johnny and I recorded a whole episode that we focused on, that we scrapped.
I can't remember the story now.
Well,
I remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I just want you guys.
Now people are going to just be their minds are
running
crazy.
You know what? This is something for the patrons.
Because it feels like we tell everything here. We're very open. So imagine what we are holding back from you.
Oh, my gosh. This is something for the patrons at some point.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I had to get a new water filtration system, put it that way. In my house.
Somehow, whatever they were thinking, they just mean, like, oh, this is the most boring. I'm glad we didn't hear it.
It's not
a boring story, but I'm saying like,
right.
They didn't think water filtration.
No. And in the end, I was getting rid of a water softener and
this is such a dad story. I had to get a different hedge trimmers because the gas ones went out and I was like, these electric ones, but then you got to get an extension cord that's long enough. No one cares, John, about your water filtration.
So we order this thing, and it's expensive from California, and it's got refund.
Yeah.
And so the plumber comes who's going to install it. He's like, I'm not sure this is the one you want. And so I go to return it. It's these huge tanks. And I realize they don't have free returns. They just have refunds.
Uh-huh.
You know how much it was going to cost to ship it back to California?
What?
$600.
Oh, right. It's like a restocking fee.
So then
I called.
No, just the shipping. Because it was that heavy.
Huh.
It's all the way to California.
Well, how did they eat all that to send it to you then?
I don't know, but that's how they don't get you
a
refund.
They must have some deal with the shipping
They
people.
Never give refunds. I guarantee you that because you can't afford to ship it back.
That seems...
Come on now.
That's a trick. It's a trap.
So you know what I did? I called the plumber and said, hey, we're using this one. And that's what we use. And we like it. It's fine.
So you literally just kept it.
We did.
Because you didn't want to ship it back.
Yeah, he was just less...
I think this is why... This is like why Laura stayed married to
you. She's like, there's too much trouble at this
point. I can't train a new man right now.
I just got him to understand how to, I don't know what she got me to understand.
I can't pay alimony.
The other day I told her, we were talking about.
She'd be paying alimony probably, wouldn't she? She makes more than you. Do you think she'd be paying alimony?
Does that
ever work in a situation like
that?
Where the woman makes more?
We don't joke about divorce, for real, but.
But if you ever did, you'd say, hey, you better start saving your shekels, lady. You get rid of me, I'm going to take you everything you're worth. Something like that?
I would never say that.
No. I'm sure there's out there where a woman has had to pay alimony, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't know why you act like that'd be so...
I just think that...
Johnny's chauvinism is on another level. You're like, this reminds me of Michael Scott, you know. I'm saying, that's misogynistic. He's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And you know what? You didn't have to say that. Anyway.
I don't remember where we were. But okay, so you got your water softener.
Yeah, I was saying it cost me that much money to ship it back.
Yeah.
And so I didn't.
So now you have this inferior...
No, it's actually great.
That your plumber did not want you to get.
He had never installed this particular thing before. Now that he's installed it, he's like, this is great. Yeah. And he wants to install it everywhere.
Because he doesn't want to go uninstall it.
But shipper beware.
Yeah.
Because...
Watch out when you're out there buying water softeners.
From California that are heavy. It's not a softener, Johnny. It's a full house, total house filtration
system. It's a water robot.
All that being said...
Yeah. Is something wrong with your water that you needed
all this?
Well,
that's what I was getting at with all this. So it comes from the county. Well, actually, it comes
from... Do you have hard water, soft water? What is it?
It's hard water.
You have to soften it? Yeah.
And then we put a pre-filter in.
Tell me this, though. Does it make the water make your body feel slimy?
No, it makes it the opposite. Hard water makes your body feel slimy.
No, the hard water is like, I don't agree. Because I've been in hotels before. It's like, it feels like you still have soap on your body.
It's soft.
It's too soft.
At any rate.
It's extra soft.
Bro, the stuff that's coming into this filter, you can see it.
Yeah.
It's been up for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it's almost brown already.
What do you mean you can see it?
I have a pre-filter on here where I can see the filter you change every 3 months.
Sure.
The stuff that's coming straight that we were just drinking before, Johnny.
You think they don't just preload that filter with some stuff to make it?
It was white when you put it in.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like bright white, and now it's not.
But maybe it's like one of those hyper-color shirts where when something hits, remember those?
Oh, I do. You make them warm and they change colors.
Yeah.
It was a middle school thing because boys were always trying to be inappropriate and leave handprints on girls where they shouldn't. That was always the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we frown on that.
We frown on that here. Talk about that. We won't stand for it.
But in middle school, that was happening.
Yeah. And plus, like for me, I was a sweaty kid. Hypercolor just made me look like I was literally melting. I was like becoming like a prism. I was like becoming one. I was like rainbow. Right. It was not great.
It's interesting that you would have the same experience with hypercolor in East Tennessee as I had in Middle Tennessee. Because they're planets
I was like,
apart.
Look at all these handprints on me. Like, Johnny, those are your hands.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone won't stop touching. Johnny, stop it.
That's you.
No one cares about you. Then I would just be sad. Give myself a weird hypercolor hug.
Oh, man. Hypercolor.
Yeah. We went way back. That's a 90s.
That's doing something.
That's late 80s, really.
Is it?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how long when did they go under and what happened? And why isn't that technology still
That's way
being used somewhere else? Like, I don't know. I guess we just figured out, this is a really novelty thing that the novelty is going to wear off or it's going to be weird.
Maybe it's like people's armpits are just changing colors.
Yeah. You just see who the sweaty people are.
Right.
Which I was.
So it's like you're walking around with an infrared on.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I still feel
the predator can see you already.
He's watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie Predator, by the way, guys. Yeah.
The Nashville.
The Nashville Predators. Do you go to hockey games?
I've been to one. It's way more fun in person. I will say that about hockey. Yeah. But it's hard to follow that puck.
Mm.
You know? Like you're just like, and you wait for context clues to know when to cheer sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe if I watched it all the time, I would be better at tracking it.
But couldn't they use a ball? Wouldn't that be easier?
I think what you've described is polo.
Well, not on ice.
Or lacrosse.
Ice polo?
Ice polo.
I know.
Huh?
And what are they called? Hypercolor?
Hypercolor ice polo will happen.
Dude, now that.
Did you see flag football is going to be an Olympic sport in 28? You know, a lot of people are like poo-pooing it already, and I'm excited because I see why they don't want full-tackle football, because it's so nobody would want to give their, American teams would not want to be like, yeah, we're paying you $25 million.
Yeah.
Go play for the America and just blow your knee out. Like, I get why they would want flag football if they're going to have to.
Are NFL players playing?
I'm not sure if we're going to be allowing that. Because, again, these teams are, who knows what the deals are.
But do you think you and I have time to train?
I hope it is a bunch of weekend warrior guys that do it that first year. I hope it's just a bunch of guys. Immediately I thought of our friend John Kerry when I thought of flag football. I immediately thought, like, he's doing it. Yeah. He's coming out of retirement. This is his moment.
Yeah. John Kerry makes me sick because we don't even know if he's exercised in the last 20 years.
But he's
the
still,
moment you step on a court or a field, he's just a
that
superior.
That part of him comes to life.
Yeah. It makes me, I mean, I used to be like that.
Well, I want, here's something. What about this? Why don't you help the country by not trying out?
Oh, well, that's another idea.
Everybody needs to help the country in their own way. And this is what we're asking of you.
We're asking
you know how like people started to gather like metal and scraps to make tanks in the Greatest Generation?
They did their bit.
This is you, but instead you're at your home gathering dust.
I eat?
No.
While I watch? No. Okay. No.
We need you to just focus.
Just be there. Don't even
on
watch.
Staying in your house.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good...
We don't even want you to watch. I feel like you might be bad luck.
You're going to sully the whole thing. Yeah. You know, it's firm but fair, Johnny. I think that's a...
Yeah.
Only a real friend would be so...
If you want to be a patriot, this is what it costs.
Yeah. Listen, I love flag football.
What Olympic sport do you look at and you think, I think I could do that? Because a lot of people say curling. They're like, what's so hard about curling?
And I'm not good on ice.
It's a skill game more than it is an athlete game, I would say, right? Because it's just, they're not even in skates. They're in shoes on that ice. That's like it's like shuffleboard.
Yeah.
I say that and these curling people are going to come after
me.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But it's the same rules, basically. It's like you're trying to bump them out of the way. You're trying to get over the target, whatever. And I get that it's a skill game, but does it deserve a medal? Like flag football, you're doing like explosive things with your body. You're twisting, you're contorting, you're running.
Johnny, what kind of football are you playing?
You can't.
Where you're contorting.
Man.
Johnny, I don't think you know how football works.
Yeah, I'm a contortionist.
Go long. And Johnny just...
I just make myself into a pretzel.
Puts himself into a knot.
Yeah.
I would say, I actually think curling, it would have to be something like that has a touch to it.
Yeah.
Like not a...
Archery, John?
I thought about archery when you said that.
Yeah.
I've been known to hit a target or two.
Did you do archery when you were an Eagle Scout or whatever you were?
I did some archery.
You weren't an Eagle Scout. What were you?
No, I was
the Royal Rangers. Equivalent.
Ranger of the Year.
Ranger of the Year.
Yeah. And then the thing then for them is the Gold Medal of Achievement is the equivalent to the Eagle Scout.
Yes.
And I dropped out of Rangers before. I was well on my way.
Oh.
And I just
upended your progress?
We got a youth pastor. And so we stopped doing like the Ranger program and started doing youth ministry. And then I became a youth pastor. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still continuing the.
You got a youth pastor and he was like, we're not going to. And you were like, oh. And then teenage girls happened too, right?
If I keep wearing this uniform, I'm never going to get a date.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you have the thing where it was like a kerchief with a little thing that was holding
the
kerchief?
That was when you were in Buckaroos.
Okay.
Yes. But if you're in Pioneers or Trailblazers.
I'm going to bring the Ascot kerchief thing back.
You think?
I haven't seen those. You don't see those enough.
I don't think
a decorative neckerchief for a man.
You and I are
like a man about town, a gentlemanly.
I would like that, but we're not allowed to bring back things. We're not allowed to bring.
That's true. Nobody wants our input on fashion.
No, if we did it, that'd be a good reason not to do it.
Yeah, like if we wanted to kill off neckerchiefs, and maybe we did.
Maybe that's why.
I have a feeling that it was Mr. Furley.
Because
Mr. Furley from Three's Company was last appearance, and he was trying to be a guy who was clearly out of touch and dressing like in a 70s way.
Yeah.
You know, Nehru and weird like leisure suits and neckerchiefs and ascots and things. And he was like, look at the guy who's clearly wearing a toupee and he's silly. Yeah. So that's what our role would be. If it starts to come back, they're like, we need to get you out. We're reverse influencers. That's what we could be.
Listen.
They need to plan us out there. They just need to seed the world with like what we don't want kids to do. By the way, I thought of a thing last week. I listened to last week's episode. We could not think of a thing for what would be just say no to overindulgence of social media, which is the new addiction. It's the new drug is social media for our kids. So what would be the saying? And we couldn't think of anything because you were like, just say moderation. I got it.
Okay.
Just say whoa. Like, whoa, that's enough.
Okay.
Just say whoa. Although it sounds like
you're
like,
on
whoa,
a horse. Whoa, 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 yeah. Wilbur.
That's as far as I got, though, with it.
No, I can. I mean, it's not little, bad. It's a little derivative.
But that's why it works. You know what? You're a little derivative.
It is the most. It is the most just like Jack Hole thing to say if anyone ever says, you know what? It's a little derivative.
Yeah, it's a
like,
little.
It's a very.
I like it. I don't love it.
Right.
Like, which is to say, I don't like it either.
Like the part, like I liked the part where you stopped talking
yes.
at the end.
Yeah.
That was right. That was great.
I hated all of it. Okay, so just the one note? Okay, good. That's good. Just the one note, then. John, speaking of notes, it's time to go back into our shared history. This week in history, it's a segment we like to call Talk About Then. John, this week, the U.S. took possession of the Alaska Territory. Mm. The U.S. had purchased it from the Russians in March for about how much an acre, John?
Okay, hold on a second. This is the territory. We're not in statehood yet, right?
Not in the statehood yet. 1867. We purchased it from the Russians.
I'm going to guess we purchased it for per acre, is what you're asking?
Per acre.
$50 an acre.
2 cents.
Really?
It was referred to critics of the purchase as Seward's folly in reference to the U.S. Secretary of State, William yeah. H. Seward, who negotiated the treaty.
Who, by the way, there was...
Wait a minute. So we had U.S. critics of the deal?
Seems
like
yeah.
they would be cool with it.
No.
They thought even at 2 cents an acre, what are you doing?
Right. Because it's like...
Because it's not even connected. It's connected to Canada.
Yeah, it's barren... land to them.
I have Canadian friends who still go, we don't know how you got Alaska.
Yeah.
We do not know how you got Alaska. It would be like if Canada owned Florida.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's our other province. I think how many provinces? 11 provinces. That's the 12th province. It's Florida. We vacation there sometimes. It's like, how did Canada get Florida? That's how they feel about yeah. us getting Alaska. And they're furious. But they're so polite that they can't. They just seethe. They just pour poutine gravy on it and it just... runs down and calms them like it does. We love our neighbors to the north. America's hat. Russia was eager to sell. John, those are John's words. Russia was eager to sell the territory, fearing that they would lose it anyway if a war broke out with the United Kingdom. So I didn't know that. So they were kind of like, eh.
Right.
This is kind of a liability anyway. It would gain U.S. statehood in what year, John? 1867 was when the territory was sold. When did it gain statehood?
52.
59.
I was in the right decade.
John, this week, 1966, a very famous car, concept car, was patented.
What year?
1966.
Okay.
It's a concept car, keep in mind. The Batmobile.
Oh. They patented the Batmobile.
Creator of the Batmobile from the TV show Batman, George Barris, patented his creation. He built it from a Lincoln Futura concept car. John, this week, 1966.
Why would you need to patent it?
I don't know.
You're afraid that someone else is going to create
a
show?
Well, and he kind of was taken off on a Lincoln
right.
Futura, so who knows? Maybe he just thought, this is so cool. I got to patent this because people are going to be...
What, making Batmobiles?
I guess.
Like, who would do that? I think you're missing... John, you're bearing the lead here.
Yeah.
Like...
That this man was clearly insane?
That, I mean, what...
a paranoid person?
I mean, there's a question to be asked. I want to know.
Okay. I don't know. Did you know that this week in 1963, we launched the first cat into space?
You know, I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this week, a lot happened.
Important things.
Unfortunately, not the last cat. Hey-o! Johnny don't like cats. I'm allergic. That's not about not liking cats. They don't like me. How about that?
No.
Or anybody, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm not a... Yeah. I just don't do it.
I was thinking the other day about that, about like when you like soldiers return home, there's all these videos of like the dogs freaking out.
Yeah.
A cat would just be like, Yeah. Thanks for your service. They just turn their tail and
yeah.
walk into the next room.
When you watch like AFV
yeah.
in cat videos, it's like they'll do the dog videos, the dog's doing something silly mm-hmm. and, you know, catching a frisbee and flipping upside down or eating your ice cream cone or whatever. The cat video, I've seen these.
Yeah.
Cat video will be like a cat next to a baby.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just viciously attacks its head.
Yeah, or knocks your glass of milk off the table.
With his paw.
Just while making eye contact with you, just pushes whatever you have off the...
And like, and the baby starts crying, and the whole crowd starts laughing. I'm like, guys, the laugh track's in the wrong spot. Who sent this in?
Yeah.
That's not great.
Right.
Like, you don't want to attack babies with
claws.
That's
a supervillain origin story for
yeah.
that baby.
And like, I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Why
but,
is that a funny video?
There was a cat launched into space.
AFV, not sponsored.
Felicet. is sent into space. That's the name of the cat, I assume. Is sent into space in a capsule on top of a French AG-1 rocket. Traveled 120 miles into space for 1 hour, 20 minutes, and then returned to Earth by parachute and was recovered
that's
safely.
A small parachute for a cat.
Yeah, that's an interesting, like, how do you...
Like, get him down and he has to jump out?
Like, whatever the French version of NASA, they were out there, like, trying to figure out, how big do we need to make these? I don't know. I don't need the French accent. Parachute for the kitty cat. Okay. She is the only cat to have been sent into space and survived. That's a weird...
Oh.
I don't like the way that...
There's a whole lot of other parts of this history that are...
Yeah.
We don't want to...
Some dark history of just sending cats into space.
I mean, I like cats, but I'm not in favor of us just killing them indiscriminately.
She was a black and white female found on the streets of Paris and was selected from 14 cats the French trained for the mission. So they had 14 cats.
Yeah, how do you train a cat?
And how do you know you got the right one?
Ugh. The interview process is stringent.
Yeah. Well, she made it back, and I wonder how long she lived after this. I wonder if the space travel affected her lifespan or anything.
Well, the story she had to tell.
Elvis got into a brawl at a gas station this week in 1956, John. He was defending a cat that had just returned from space. Now, he got into a fight with a gas station owner and an employee. Elvis had driven into the gas station. Not into the gas station. It's what it says, though. It says into the gas station.
Okay.
Driven, well, I guess back then you kind of drive in through the little carport area, so it's into the gas station, but it's under the covered area. To have his car checked, as he was getting ready to leave, a group of young girls stopped him, it's Elvis, to ask for autographs. While signing the autographs, the gas station owner asked Elvis to move his car so the others could get gas. When he didn't move his car, a scuffle ensued, with the gas station owner and Elvis exchanging blows.
Wow.
So this guy not only like was like, hey, Elvis, move your car. Then Elvis doesn't do it. He's like, you know what, Elvis? He fist fought Elvis.
Wow. Well,
would you, like, it would take a lot. Like, even if you're like, this guy over
I'm
here
kind
thinks
of on
he's...
on the side of the gas station owner here.
Okay.
He's blocking the pumps.
Well,
bro.
Let me tell you what happened. A gas station employee then joined in to help the owner.
I'm not okay with
They
this.
Were all three arrested. The gas station owner was fined $25, and the employee was fined $15 for, quote, taking the law into their own hands. The charges against Elvis were dismissed.
Oh.
So this is kind of a...
Maybe they were trying. But, oh, famous guy thinks he can... Now,
but then
that's
Elvis,
that case.
But Elvis gets off, like, with no charges at all and no fine.
Yeah.
He had... Who knows who threw the first... You know, who threw the first punch there?
When did Jailhouse Rock come out?
I promise you, you do not want to fight Elvis. And you can't fight him because he's dead. Yeah. A pigeon saved 1,000 lives this week, John, in 1943. During war... Did you know this story? During World War II...
I haven't heard it yet, so I'm not sure.
It was... It happened to me. This was no. During World War II, have I never told you the story about how a pigeon saved me and 999 other people? It's a crazy story. I can't believe it never came up.
This has to do with it going into an airplane engine, right?
No, U.S. air bombings were scheduled against German positions at Calvi Vecchia, Italy. And British troops had captured the village. Unable to get a message to the Americans to stop the bombings, they sent a carrier pigeon named G.I. Joe. The pigeon traveled the 20 miles in 20 minutes just in time to halt the bombings.
Come on.
G.I. Joe's swift flight is credited with saving over 1,000 lives.
Oh, my.
That's a great story. How is this not a Pixar movie?
Right.
Or
it
at least a Pixar
full, it
short.
It can't be a full movie.
Right.
Because it's like, it happened.
Like a Pixar short that they put in front of
right. We need
another one.
I need the pigeon's origin story.
Yes.
And then his life afterwards.
Right.
When he dealt with the
yeah.
aftermath.
Well, and the fame that would inevitably
right.
come. Yeah, maybe you heard of me.
G.I. Joe. Riddle me this. Was G.I. Joe a thing before this?
This is 1943,
like, is he the original G.I. Joe as a pigeon?
I guess.
I would imagine G.I. Joe is already a term.
Yeah, I guess. We don't have...
Government-issued Joe.
There's no way to know.
It's probably what they just called the Americans over there.
John, this week, 1851, the classic Moby Dick by Herman Melville is published. Did you read Moby Dick in school?
Yeah.
You have to read the classics, right? Did you do a report on it? The symbolism and all that?
I'm sure.
What do you think of it as a literary work?
I think it's a classic.
Okay. Well, but you don't get to decide that.
I mean,
it is
I'm
a classic.
Saying, I agree.
With its standing in the literary...
It has been a minute since I could tell you all the ins and outs. I do think it's a lot... there's a lot to be said about.
Can I surprise you by how it did at the as far as the returns? This is shocking to me. Although Melville had success with two previous novels, Moby Dick was not well received and only sold about 3,200 copies during his lifetime.
Wow.
It wasn't until
about how many books I've sold in my lifetime.
So that, you know what that means? If we can just
get me to die.
If we can just kill you off. Man,
it's the dream. Wait.
Okay. Is it the dream? Okay. Anyway, after Melville's death, Moby Dick became regarded as a classic. Call Me Ishmael is one of the most famous opening lines in literature. Melville drew his inspiration from Moby Dick from the real-life sinking of the whaling ship Essex by a whale in which the crew was forced into cannibalism in order to survive. That's a darker... So that's a true story that Moby Dick was based on.
Well,
I guess he didn't... There's not cannibalism in Moby Dick, right?
I don't recall that. I think he's alone.
Yeah.
Most of the story.
That's... Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting, though. 3,200 books in his lifetime.
Sorry, it's been a while since I read Moby Dick. I don't remember all the ins and outs.
It's about a whale. I know that part. Yeah. Anyway.
Interesting.
Perry Mason, October 18th, 1943, Earl Stanley Gardner's character's debut on CBS Radio starring John Larkin as the famous defense attorney. So, Perry Mason, the reason I wanted to mention this on This Week in History is I think it's an interesting kind of character that you started seeing in the radio dramas and television characters later, where you would have a what I would call a Perry Mason moment that would make your legal drama. In other words, and what I would call a Perry Mason moment is they don't just prove their client didn't do it. They prove who did it. So you get this nice...
They solve what could have been solved.
And then that guy jumps up and runs out of the courtroom because he realizes
Bailiff,
he's the...
Yeah. Take him into custody.
Right. Yeah. And that became like the go-to thing that you had to have in your legal show.
Yeah.
That we see in Law and Order, you see it on other shows.
Because that's
maybe everyone
rare.
Doesn't. Yeah, it's very rare. But now, it's. Do you think that's kind of it shaped how we want? Like we see true justice as not only did I get a not guilty verdict, but I want to figure out who did it. And so many crimes go unsolved.
Well, the deal is, if you find who did it, that certainly
you
know, exonerates the defendant. So perhaps,
do you believe I'm guilty or not, John?
You have to find the person who proves that you're not. Show me who did it, and I'll take you off of the stand.
I don't like your attitude.
Well, you can't plead the fifth.
Finally, John, born this week in 1938, American actress, Miss Nevada 1959, Dawn Wells. You know who Dawn Wells is, John?
Mm-mm.
You would know her as Marianne.
I was about to say, probably
here,
from Gilligan's
here
Isle.
Here on Gilligan's Isle.
And I was so actually going to guess that show.
You know, when you talk about the male species... there's ginger people and Marianne people, don't you think? I think everybody's got a little bit of both. It's a spectrum, but
I think you're dating yourself.
No. I don't. I'm just saying my people my age for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like for Gilligan's Island, you had like the hometown girl, Marianne,
right?
Farm girl, pigtails.
Then you had a movie star.
Brunette, just cute, and then you had the movie star. You know, she's all made up and glam, and she had the evening dress on but then she has to spend the whole time on the island in an evening dress.
Right. And I find it interesting too that I think the professor was the only like eligible male among the crew.
Well, I mean, Gilligan was single.
Correct.
Skipper was single.
Correct. I'm saying though, you put like two.
You mean like
models?
You don't think the skipper and Gilligan were
saying,
okay? Mr. Howell's married.
I think they should have balanced it a little bit. Because the professor kind of was like the good-looking, smart guy.
Yeah.
But who was the... I mean, why do we have to have...
But he was an egghead, so like, are they going to be attracted to the professor? He's kind of... He's going to nerd out. He thinks he's above everybody.
But were they not eggheads?
Well, I mean, they're just... They're whatever. They're... You know, nobody's trying to fix the boat like he was. He was, you know, he's speaking in scientific terms. They're just like... Ginger's all in her own world.
Oh, but egghead, you mean like a...
Yeah, like he's a smart guy. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That...
You never heard the term egghead?
I've never heard it applied to that.
Yeah. You've never heard when I called you an egghead behind your back. I don't know. Anyway, I was definitely a Marianne person. Yeah. Ginger, come on, man. I don't know.
Was she just too vapid for you?
I don't know. She just... Ginger's...
She was just playing a character, bro.
I know.
They put her in an evening dress.
And again, this does severely date us and the show. But,
I
but maybe
our, you.
But maybe you didn't like Gilligan's Island?
I liked it. Again, that's going to be the divide. You know, you always say, because you're 5 years old.
5 years.
Like, yeah. And we would watch.
Well, it's not like I watched it every week. It was in syndication that I watched
me
it.
Me thinks thou doth protest too much.
Whew. Yeah. You were watching Saved by the Bell probably and being like, this is brilliant. this show will age perfectly. What great writing.
Yeah.
I don't like your attitude.
Well, I don't like it either. That makes two of us.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it.
Is that all you got?
I had one more, but I don't know if you even want it right now.
You know what?
Let's go. One more.
One more.
George C. Scott was born this week in 1927. Famous Oscar and Emmy winning actor for films Doctor Strangelove and Patton.
Yeah.
Very, you know, famously played General Patton. But did you know that he's the only, the first actor to refuse his Oscar?
No.
1970 for Patton. He refused the Oscar. And I can't remember why. I know
it's not in there?
Marlon Brando, it doesn't say, but I could look it up. Marlon Brando refused his later for The Godfather, which was 79. And it was because of the mistreatment of Native Americans. So he had a Native American person, a Native American female, get up and decline the award for him, basically, and make a speech. And a lot of the stars, as they panned around, there was like, what is this grandstanding? But evidently, George C. Scott was the first one to decline. I don't know why, because he was an eccentric guy, but not like Brando. Brando was very eccentric. But George C. Scott, I think, was considered to be pretty level-headed. So maybe it wasn't political at all, but I need to look it up. We'll let him know next week. Cliffhanger. Let's start building cliffhangers and bring people back.
I like that.
You like that?
If we could remember.
Although they could just go look it up right now and then send us, like, fire off a tirade. If you want to fire off a tirade, you can do so at talkaboutthatpodcast.com. There's a little quote bubble at the bottom right-hand side of the page. The top right-hand side is where you can support the show and get ad-free content.
Yeah, you know, I actually had a really great new review this week. You know, sometimes we read those on the air, and I think
because it feeds and strokes our own ego.
Well, I sent it to you. I was like,
do you read the negatives?
Yeah.
And then we just cry, and then we crumple them up and throw them into a wastebasket.
We don't get a lot of negatives. This one's a 5-star.
Oh, that's...
And it says, a long journey to get here. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to say everything he said in it. Because, like, he references other shows.
Yeah, I don't want to reference other shows necessarily.
Because we're not comparing and contrasting.
We don't want y'all to go watch.
But he basically says he stumbled onto our show, didn't he?
Yeah. Stand by, I'm having some technical difficulties here. I know, and I'm the producer of the show.
You're the egghead.
I know. There it is. He says, my favorite funny soccer podcast stopped making episodes, and in heartbreak, I asked for fun podcast recommendations. So my friend suggested another one, which also stopped making episodes, but in an ad for that one, they heard about our podcast. It's a lot of fun. I get a good laugh while listening at work, but also get to engage my brain a bit on some thought-provoking things. I love the pod. Please don't quit now that I'm listening. You know what? That's great, because we are at episode 282.
Yeah.
So, I mean, asking us not to quit now is a wise request, because we're in this
thing.
We're
about done.
Like, we don't know.
It's like when people go, how did the Israelites walk 40 years in the desert?
Just like that.
We're in, like, year 26. Yeah. Don't you think?
This is like manna to manna comparison. It's completely.
If we were a basketball team, we would play manna to manna defense.
Just for that, I got another hundred episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's as penance for that.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I want to keep going. If you still got that kind of witty banter, retort, I'm down.
Oh, boy.
You should check out Johnny's other witty banter and retorts at johnnyw.com. Man, where you can find all about his comedy, his specials that he has out there. And
he's just
adding tour dates like crazy.
Cheers.
It's actually
not like crazy. They're adding at a normal rate.
Nah, I think it's kind of high.
Okay.
Johnny, I will say this. He's traveling so much. It's hard for us to record this. So feel as if we went to trouble.
I am a sacrifice for you people. Yeah. And I don't mean you people by you. Don't take it as the wrong way. I mean, our listeners are wonderful.
Yeah.
If you're not a person, I'm sorry. I don't mean, when I say you people, I don't want to leave out like objects that might be listening or cats.
Oh, you have to.
I've also just got through talking about how I want to launch every cat into space.
You've besmirched the cat population.
The feline listenership.
They're a strong lobby.
They are. Go to johndriver.com and check out John's array of books. It's an array, wouldn't you say?
There's some books there. You know, I'm working on number 30.
Okay. Right. Is that going to be, are we going to throw a party?
I don't think so.
I want to do it.
What?
You know, I've got my 50th coming up. No, I've got my 50th birthday coming up next summer.
Yeah.
And I think we should take a guy trip.
I do too.
You know, because we never do that. But I think it's time.
Where do you want to go?
I want to see the Vegas Sphere. I want to go to a concert in the Sphere.
Oh.
It looks cool. Have you seen the videos of it?
I have not.
It's this whole thing where it's all digital. And you've not seen the videos of the Sphere?
I think so.
There's a million little like hockey puck sized LEDs.
Uh-huh.
And that can make the Sphere look like anything. And it's all these motions. So like U2 did a concert inside of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's this really trippy, you know, visual experience.
Yeah.
And I want to go see a show there. Wow. And it's going to be really expensive. And you have to pay because I'm 50.
Oh, wow. That would be enough to pay for it.
Just really, talk about dating myself. I just told the audience that I'm 50. Now all the people who are listening are like, this old guy, no wonder I don't relate.
Johnny, 50 is the new 35, and you're only in the second third.
35's old, too, though.
Like, you're barely through the second. Like, you're halfway through the second third of your third.
Trimester?
And speaking of U2, guys, U2 can listen next week on
Talk About That.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.